desse rio. Oh, there is to you.
Amen. Please be seated.
Frank Clark was the author of the comic strip, The Country Parson, which appeared in newspapers around the country until his death in 1991 at the age of 80. And in speaking of problems, Clark said, "Having problems may not be so bad. We have a special place for folks who have none. It's called the cemetery." And if you're part of a church, you can be sure that there will be problems, especially a church that's focused on sending people out into the world, into the community, sharing the gospel. Now, to be part of a church that doesn't do that, yeah, there'll be problems, but the problems kind of revolve around, you know, the color of the choir robes, the color of the carpet, you know, those mundane things that really don't mean a thing. But a church that is alive, a church that focuses on the gospel, you can be sure you will have spiritual attacks coming against you. We've seen that already as we've been looking at being set out from the book of Acts. We've seen believers arrested, intimidated, even beaten for sharing the gospel of Christ. Next week, Lord willing, we'll see a believer who was killed for proclaiming the gospel of Christ. You see, Satan comes against God's church and God's people like a roaring lion. But he also comes against God's church like a deceptive serpent. He slithers his way into the church and tries to ruin it from within. And he does it by sin. We saw that in Acts chapter 5 in the case of Ananias and Sapphira and their hypocrisy. This morning we're going to see another means by which Satan slithers in, and that is causing disunity, disrupting the unity of the church. You know, the late, great Warren Wiersbe, a Bible teacher of a while ago, said, "When Christians fight against one another, the devil remains neutral and feeds ammunition to both sides." When problems arise in a church, each of us has an opportunity to be a peacemaker or a peace breaker. In Acts chapter 6, we see Satan's attempt to foster division in order to thwart God's work through his church. But we also see the church addressing practical problems in a spiritual way. By doing so, the church grew in both quality and quantity. And these problems faced by the church in Acts chapter 6 are really opportunities in disguise. And there are three great opportunities for the church in this passage, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 10, when it deals with problems appropriately. Notice, first of all, in Acts 6, 1 through 4, the church, or problems, excuse me, provide the church the opportunity for self-evaluation. Acts 6, verse 1. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Notice the source of the problem we see in Acts 6. God's blessing. When the number of the disciples were increasing, that caused a problem to surface. The Hellenists, or the Grecian Jews, complained against the Hebrew-speaking Jews that their widows were being neglected. And so this problem provides the church an opportunity to evaluate its systems and its structures. You see, folks, complaints arise when needs go unmet. The care of widows was a priority in both Old Testament Israel as well as the New Testament church. In Deuteronomy 24, verses 19 through 21, we see the priority for ancient Israel. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You see, taking care of those in need was a priority in the nation Israel. But not just Israel, in the church. James chapter 1, verse 27 declares, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Folks, unmet needs have been a catalyst in our very own church, for new ministries being established. I think back many years ago, Josie Cutler approached me after a morning service and said, "You know, I think that God is leading me to start a service for the little children, the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. We can call it We Worship." I said, "I think that's a great idea, Josie. What do you need?" "Well, I need a room." "Okay, we'll get you a room. Anything else you need?" "Well, I need to get some curriculum." "All right, we'll get you your curriculum." See, we like to have a yes face on when it comes to people wanting to serve the Lord. Then a few years later, Jamie Hagley approached me and said, "Pastor, I think we need to restart our Awana ministry." You see, our church used to have Awana years before, and Jamie came, and it had kind of passed off the scene. Jamie came and wanted to restart it. Now, I got to be honest. I said, "Now, Jamie, it's always harder to restart something than it is to start something fresh and new. Do you understand that?" She said, "Yes, I do. But I think we can do it." And so we did many, many years ago. And Wednesday night, we got a bunch of kids coming in every Wednesday to Awana. And we have a bunch of workers coming every Wednesday to serve in Awana. But then, not to be outdone, Jamie's husband, Charlie, came up to me 15 years ago and said, "Have you ever heard of Upward Basketball and Cheerleading?" And I had. I had just been to my brother-in-law's church in Virginia, and they had Upward Basketball and Cheerleading. And he talked to me and told me about it. And so I told Charlie, I said, "Well, yes, I have." He said, "I would like to start Upward Basketball and Cheerleading in our church." I said, "That's a great idea. What do you need?" He said, "Well, they have a training session in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Could the church send me to that?" I said, "Absolutely. Let's let you go." And now Upward Basketball and Cheerleading, over the last, I think it's 15 years, is probably the best evangelistic outreach that we have as a church. Every Saturday, some 700 to 1,000 people, because grandma, grandpa, aunts and uncles and cousins and neighbors and enemies and all that, come in to watch those little ones play. And at halftime, we share a gospel message with them. And the coaches share the gospel every practice they have with the kiddos. And this last year, some 20 plus people trusted Christ as their Savior because of Upward Basketball and Cheerleading. Amen. But then a few years ago, Bonnie Jefferson. I didn't know I was going to do that to you today, did you, Bonnie? Came up and said, "Pastor, we need to have a ministry to our older saints." And since I'm approaching that age, no, I'm not approaching, I've done gone over. I think it's a great idea, Bonnie. And she said, "I want to call it SHARE. Support, honor, appreciate, respect, encourage the elderly." I said, "Well, great." And she got a group of folks around it, and now other folks have come in to take the leadership of it. What I'm trying to say, folks, is that if you see a need in our church, use it as a catalyst to meet that need. We've done it over and over and over again. So problems give an opportunity to evaluate structures and ministries in a church. But secondly, problems give us an opportunity to evaluate priorities. Look at verses 2 through 4. "And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word.'" Notice the priority. Number one, for those whom they selected, spiritual qualifications, even in doing practical ministries. They said, "Look out, men, look out for men who are full of the Spirit." G. Campbell Morgan of a generation ago said, "A man full of the Spirit is one who is being a normal Christian. Fullness of the Spirit is not a state of spiritual aristocracy to which few can attain. Anything less than the fullness of the Spirit for the Christian man is a disease of his spiritual life, a low ebb of vitality. Fullness of the Spirit is not abnormal, but the normal Christian life. And not only did they say they needed to be filled with the Spirit, but they needed to be men of wisdom. Again, G. Campbell Morgan writes concerning wisdom that it is a word that suggests the reaching of the best ends by the best means. They were to be men of sanctified common sense. But not only was it the priority of spiritual requirements for practical work, but notice in verse 4, evaluate your priority in following your calling. The apostle said in Acts 6, verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You see, it's very tempting to substitute good things for God things. Ministering to the widows and the poor in their affliction, that's a good thing. But the apostles to minister in prayer and the ministry of the word is a God thing. And so let's keep the main thing, the apostles were saying. The problem that arose allowed the church to evaluate its systems and structures and to make necessary changes. Also, the problem allowed the apostles to reaffirm the priority of prayer and the ministry of the word in following their calling. But not only do problems provide an opportunity for evaluation, but problems provide an opportunity for leadership development. Verses 5 and 6. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. Problems provided the opportunity to, first of all, identify leaders. Interestingly, these seven men, every one of them had Greek names. And remember what the problem was? The Grecian Jews, the Hellenists, their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And so they chose seven men who were Hellenists, probably. Seven men with Greek names. That was their practical qualification on top of the spiritual qualification of being filled with the Spirit and full of wisdom. So they identified their leaders. Now, were these seven men the first deacons of the church? I think so. Other people do not think so. But if they were not, they were at least the forerunners of the office of deacon in a church. But not only did it give the opportunity to identify leaders, notice problems provided the opportunity to unleash leaders. Look at verse 8 through 10. And Stephen, one of those seven, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Apparently, this recognition by the church of Stephen's wisdom and fullness of the Spirit unleashed him to ministry greater than just waiting on tables. I came across an interesting fable that concerned a football game between the big animals and the little animals. The score at halftime was 84-0 in favor of the big animals. The little animals kicked off for the second half, all discouraged and dejected. But the chimp who received the kickoff was tackled at the 10-yard line, the worst starting field position of the big animals all day long. First down, they ran the elephant up the middle. He was tackled for no gain. Second down, they threw a screen pass to the zebra, and the pass was knocked down as soon as it left the lion quarterback's hands or paw. Third down, they tried a deep pass to the giraffe, and the ball was batted away just before the giraffe received it. And so the little animals came charging off the field, all excited with their first defensive stand and the coach, who was a gopher, said, "Who tackled that chimpanzee on the 10-yard line?" The centipede said, "I did, coach." "Well, who tackled the elephant running up the middle?" The centipede again said, "It was me, coach." "Well, who knocked down that screen pass?" Again, the centipede said, "It was me." "Well, who broke up that long pass to the giraffe?" The centipede said, "I was the one." And the coach just exploded. "Where were you in the first half?" To which the centipede replied, "I was in the locker room getting my ankles taped." I'm so glad you all laughed at that. When I read that, it cracked me up. But the point of that ridiculous parable is, how many of us are in the round locker room getting our ankles taped when the team needs us out on the field? Yeah, the church is all about equipping and discipling, but there comes a time where we need to go out and serve and minister. Problems, thirdly, provide us an opportunity to express love. Love is an action verb. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Tell us this. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, How does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And when problems arise, we have the opportunity to express our love one to another. Well, what's the result of the church meeting these needs in a spiritual way? Look at chapter 6, verse 7 of Acts. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Problems truly are opportunities in disguise. It's an opportunity for self-evaluation and to make needed changes. It's an opportunity to develop leadership. And it's an opportunity to express love. And as for the church, so it goes for each and every Christian. When problems come into your life, it means you have an opportunity to evaluate your life and make any necessary changes. When problems come into your life, it gives you the opportunity to use them as an opportunity to grow. And finally, when problems come into your life, it allows you an opportunity to look for ways to express love. You see, friend, when problems come, you can be part of the problem or part of the solution. Back in 1990, singer-songwriter Andre Crouch wrote a song entitled Through It All. It's one of my favorites. The third stanza of that song says, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Sing that chorus with me, would you? Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. And dear friend, who does not yet know Jesus, remember that God allows problems to come into our lives to drive us to him. And you may be facing a problem today. Big problem, small problem, in-between problem. Regardless, it's a problem in your life. Is God using that? Is God sending that your way so that you would come to know him? So that you would learn to trust in Jesus. Think about that. Let's pray. Thank you, Father in heaven, that you are so sovereign. You use problems in our lives to drive us to you. God, thank you for the mountains. Thank you for the valleys. Thank you for the storms you bring us through. And Lord, thank you for working in our lives, working in our churches to utilize those problems as opportunities. And God, I pray for someone today who is thinking right now, perhaps, that's why I'm facing this situation. That's why I'm going through this problem, because God wants me. Lord, may they respond in faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in that message of Good Friday and Easter that we celebrated last week, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and he rose again. Draw them to yourself, Father, and may they, by faith, receive you. In Jesus' name, amen.